For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
They had to do a, they did a endoscopy too, because I've been having, I told my, I had acid reflux. Oh, let me check that out too. I'm like, dude, I don't want you to do that too. It just seems weird that you're going in both holes, you know?
Well, while we're in there.
Might as well while you're there.
Hey, don't use the same tube though.
Yeah, wash it
don't
off.
Don't use the same scope.
Wash it off. That's all I'm saying. It's a little rinse or something.
It's close. Your butt.
Yeah, this is true.
What up? This is Robert Ori.
Ori, 3-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ori for three. Oh, unbelievable.
This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ori from downtown.
What are you giggling about? Right out of the gate, he's giggling. What are you laughing at?
It. Nothing.
I don't believe that. We've done this 159 times. It's the Big Shot Bob podcast. B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. That is a very giggly 7-time NBA champion, Robert Ori. What caught you?
Oh, I'm just laughing at myself, man, thinking about the conversation before the show.
The show before the show that no one gets to hear. Okay, so you had... I mean, I don't know how much of this you really care to talk about, but you had adult procedures happening, which is why we're day late.
Come on.
We had medical procedures happening on Tuesday.
How old are you?
I'm 53.
Bro, go ahead and look. It ain't like Rob make it sound like he had a BBL or something.
Well,
he had adult procedures going on.
That is something that happens, a procedure you have to undergo when you get a little... later on older. In life, man. Yeah, it's just, you know, I haven't had to go through it yet. I'm not looking forward to it.
You haven't? How old are you now, Rob?
I just turned 46.
No, so, they moved it to 45.
I know. It's I know. I know. It's going to happen soon.
You better do it sooner than later.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you know, you need to schedule that right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the
go down the hall and tell his wife B that he needs to schedule his
right
colonoscopy
now?
Right now.
Oh,
follow y'all that may be in the dark and don't know what we're talking about because they're being real vague about
well,
this.
We were
Rob
daily.
Got a colonoscopy.
Yeah, he had a colonoscopy. which is fairly routine.
Routine.
Yeah, and you got to do it. But you're good. You're back.
I'm back.
Good.
I'm back, baby.
And you feeling okay?
I feel great. Okay. You know, the thing about it is that day you can't eat, and then you just going into the porcelain guy, so you have to rehydrate the next day, so you got to drink a lot of water.
Like big time. Don't they give you like something you have to drink, and it kind of like cleans you out, basically?
It's advanced now. They give you pills now.
Oh, now it's pills.
You can do either or.
Okay.
You can do the pills, or you can do the drink. The first time I did it, I drank the Kool-Aid, so to say.
Well, you
and
did.
This time...
Yeah, I know.
You can take the pills.
It's all kinds of different stuff.
I highly recommend drinking. Don't take the pills. Yeah, because a lot of people say drinking is the nasty part, but the pills are the hard part because you got to take one pill every 5 minutes for an hour. So you got 12 pills you have to take. And then you have to get up and do it 5 hours before your procedure. And that's just like, oh, my goodness. I'd rather just drink everything at night. And
just go in one shot. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm glad you're healthy.
I'm healthy.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Hey, with the shit that's going on in this world and day and age and how many people are turning up with this and that, whatever,
who knows?
I'm getting checked out every time I get a chance.
You just lost your pop. I lost my dad. Yeah. So it's like, health is top of mind, I think, for everybody. So
exactly.
Glad you're taking care of yourself.
And that's one thing about us though,
what's that?
Especially in our culture, we like, we got a problem. We're scared to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor, man. I'd rather spend whatever it is and take that chance of knowing and get it handled early than knowing late and you can't get whatever it is handled. So
yeah, I guess
go to the doctor. Go get checked out.
See, that's something I was bad with until I got sick. And then once you have an issue, like I had the heart attack, That was it. Now you always go to the doctor. But up until that point, I was the same way. I never went. Yeah. I would never go. So
I laugh at the people who say, well, I don't want to know. No, I want to know.
No, I'd rather know. Yeah, I'd rather know and be around than not know and check out a few minutes early.
So, yeah.
Good. A lot to talk about this week. Holy cow.
Yes.
Even since I did the show sheet late yesterday, we had all the stuff happen last night with the Lakers, and there's all this stuff online this morning about how they've kind of, I don't want to say turned their back on Darvin Ham, but there's all this video online of him like last night where they're all in the huddle and he's trying to draw up a play and literally like LeBron walks out the huddle and nobody's even paying attention
to
him.
That ain't the first time he's done that.
I know. It's happened a few times, but it's, I don't know. It just seems like I've seen it all over the place this morning. I've just been like, man, are you getting that vibe that they're kind of not on the same page as he is?
Well, you know, I don't get that vibe, but there's a lot of moments when you watch a game where you see there's not the effort from the guys, and I'm not going to call any players out, but it's a couple times where the ball is like bouncing like right in front, and they just walk into the ball, and then the other player dips in and take it, or you're supposed to box out, the guy pushes you out of the way and take it. It's about effort. You know, it's like, it's almost like these guys think, oh shit, we good enough, we can turn it on. Like, dude, no, you're not. You might man, it's 10th now. If they won last night, they could have bounced to like 6 or 7 because the way the Suns are going the opposite way.
Yeah.
You never know what can happen. So it's just, and to go back to the walking out of the huddle, that happens in every league because it might be a play that the guys already know that we run. And sometimes coaches draw it up just to be drawing it up. And be like, oh yeah, we got it. So it's a veteran team. They do that sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, it was just because they dropped that game, and I think they're in a half a game now of the 10 spot with Golden State, like they're like right there. Yeah. So yeah, there's just a lot of buzz this morning about kind of the downward move there.
It's going down. It's the Titanic right now. It looks like it's like they're going the wrong way fast.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope they turn that. Where do you want to start here? I mean, God, we've got the Calipari stuff we talked about. Was it like a week ago or a week and a half ago? I don't even remember. But now that's done.
Arkansas, of all places.
That was really like
money.
Yeah, I guess. But even for Arkansas, that's a little sideways for me.
You know, for me, it's like he would say, you know what? I'm going to USC. You know, it seems like that would have been a better choice because
I don't think USC wants them.
But you think about it, though. You think about money and prestigious programs. I know it's a football program, but it's California. They got money, unless they spend it all on the football program. But it's Arkansas, you know, that's the old days with what, 48 minutes of hell or 40 minutes of hell with, you know, the Todd Day and Lee May, the Mayday crew.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Arkansas can get it back, though. That's not a destination.
Well, I think anywhere that Calipari goes is going to be a destination for guys. No one thought Memphis was going to be a destination until Calipari got there. And so I think, look, Arkansas got money. You got a lot of very wealthy alums that come from Arkansas. Very wealthy. And you have a coach, like, I understand it's a football school, but you got a guy like Calipari there that's going to be able to recruit. Like, he's going to be able to recruit. Now,
that's got to be it.
Yeah, it's the recruiting. Now, getting, you know, once you hit the tournament, how these guys look, you know, obviously Kentucky was always a one-and-done factory.
Big time.
Arkansas may look the same way, but Arkansas wants that relevance. You know, they want to be able to be competitive. And if you want something like that, then you go get John Calipari. Now, how far he can get them and how much he can do, now they have some buzz. Now they have people talking about them, and they're not just
irrelevant. When's the last time we talked about Arkansas basketball?
That's just it. Like,
you know.
Mayday. Mayday.
Yeah.
It's a little different now. So he's going to be able to recruit because the guys are going to go where he is.
I think what Carlos Williamson and that crew was the last time they really been a good program.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think this for them, too, the only thing I could make sense of this, which if you think about it, this is a beyond John Calipari move for Arkansas. They want the recruiting, like B-Dog said, they want the prestige, they want the recognition, they want to get a little national spotlight, they want to get some players in there, and even if they don't get all the way, the next coach can carry that forward and make that, you know, carry that program down, take maybe a little bit of that recruiting and that prestige and that namesake down the road a little bit, and maybe get them relevant again. But
it's at a point now where I don't even think a lot of these kids care. they're going to whoever's paying me the most. You know, and I'm glad the NCAA is thinking about putting some limit on the times you can transfer. Yeah, I'm like, I'm so happy about that, man. It's just ridiculous.
If you can't control NIT, then you have to get a hold of the portal, at least frame the portal in ways that helps schools and not just strips them of all their talent so quickly. College football and basketball both going through that. But, yeah, the Calipari thing, man, that threw me. He had, by the way, in April of 2019, he signed a 10-year extension with a lifetime of paid ambassadorship upon retirement for Kentucky. So he's giving all that up.
Yeah.
And he's obviously taking a payday somewhere down the road from Arkansas.
I think, if I had to guess, I think them alums, obviously, you know, they were really getting at him.
Well,
you know, when you talk about how you recruit and the lack of success that you've had in the recent years, and you've only had one title, and that was the Anthony Davis year, that was 2012. And since then, it hasn't really been much. And in a couple of these years, it's been one game out in the tournament, you know, second round out. Like, to be this talented and to not even really compete when you get into the tournament, let alone not win the SEC, I don't think it sat well with a lot of the boosters, with a lot of the alum after all this time. And I think they really kind of got tired of each other.
Yeah.
I think it gets to a point where, you know, you get all the great athletes come through there, but you got to win.
Yeah.
And I you look at that program, you look at the last, it was like All-Star game, where it was like eight guys, was it, that all went to Kentucky that was on the All-Star team, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
But only one of them maybe had a championship. But it's the thing about, do you want guys to be one and done at your school, or do you want a bunch of vets like a Purdue, like a UConn, and win the NCAA tournament? And you look at the Final Four, every team had like veteran guys. It was really no superstar freshman on there where that was killing it, because they don't know how to win yet. You know, they know how to play, but they don't know how to win. And that's, to me, what you got to have, guys who know how to win. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't know how to play as a team and win, you're going to be one and done. Yeah, you're going to make a lot of money, but your college program ain't going to be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, congratulations to UConn getting it done 2 years in a row under Dan Hurley. And the women's game stomped the men's game, by the way. Women's game got like 18.9 million viewers, and the men got like 14 something.
Yeah, they've been killing the men's game all season.
Season, yeah. And they got them in the finale again. I really liked Hurley's approach though to that game, because I think the approach was like, take out every guy that isn't Zach Edey, and just that's it. It doesn't matter if he scores 30 points. If every other guy on the floor, we can hold that collective group under 20 points, they don't have a shot in hell. Yeah. And sure enough, man, and it was cool. I didn't realize that the UConn assistant coach was Bill Murray's kid.
I know it, right?
I didn't even know that. I'm like, the hell's Bill Murray doing at the game? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's the UConn assistant coach.
He's been a lot of games. Yeah, he's been a lot. He supported his son like all season long.
Didn't even realize.
Yeah. You know, the thing about, you know, UConn had the ability to do that because they had the big guy that could play against Edey. You know, Edey got his buckets, they were hard buckets. Not like against, you know, NC State where you got, I'm 7'4 and I got a 6'6 guy on me. I'm going to score easily. And so it made a big difference when you got two big bodies that could, like, give you, what, 10 fouls right there and kind of beat up them. But they trapped though in the second half, was giving Edey problems, you know, and exposed a lot of stuff about Edey. Like, Edey is not a really good passer. He is one of those mechanical bigs where I'm going to go 1-2, spin over my left shoulder, jump hook. And he got exposed. He's like, he's the player of the year, but he probably won't even get drafted in the top 20 unless somebody needs a big. It's like, I want someone to guard the Joker when it comes down to the finals or something, give a big body. But it was good games, though. Really good games.
No, both games were good.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And congratulations to your friend, Dawn Staley. Yes. Coach Staley gets it done. South Carolina completes the perfect season, unbeaten all the way through. We gotta get her on.
Yes.
We gotta reach out to her now that the season's done and things are, you know. And I imagine the next week or two is gonna be a little chaotic for her. But I did want to play a couple pieces of audio from Dawn Staley. I thought this was a class move after the game. She kind of threw some love to Caitlin Clark. I just thought this was class.
I really would just like to say that I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome. Awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
The reason I thought that was class is I think a lot of times in, like, when you have a team that beats another team with a player like that, a standout player who's obviously getting all the national attention, they might throw him a little. And by the way, congratulations to Caitlin Clark for, like, she went out of her way to talk for about a solid minute about everything that Caitlin has kind of brought to the women's game this year and everything she's done. So I just thought that was, like, super class move by Dawn Staley.
I think you got to be able to recognize, and obviously she couldn't complete the circle by winning the title. But when we talk about these leagues, we talk about the NBA when it comes to star power. We talk about even, with the WNBA when it comes to names and star power. And even college, you look at a lot of the times where it wasn't just the men's game that was quote-unquote better. There were notable names that we all recognized and we all look forward to. Hey, I look forward to looking at this team because of this guy and this guy. Like when Duke has Zion and RJ and Cam, like they hated them, but they look forward to watching them. Why? Because it was star power. And when you have a woman like Caitlin Clark, who, the last 2 years has really set the women's game on fire. And everybody wants to see the way that she's playing, where she's pulling up from, the records that she's breaking. Everybody's gunning for her.
Yeah.
You know, even when with her and Angel Reese, everybody thought they hated each other when it was just two dominant players battling. It's competition.
Game, yeah, it's game.
But that's what added to the allure of the women's game. And everybody's talking about, this, that. But this is what people want. They want competition. They want to see notable faces. They want to see people who, hey, I'm looking forward to this game because I remember what happened last year. That's what it's been this season.
Yeah.
To go off of that point, look what you did last year. Let's go to Raven Johnson. Remember last year? What Caitlin was doing her like this, waving her off, that hurt her in her heart.
Yeah.
She went in the lab and she got better, but she took it out on Caitlin ass. So she D'd her up.
Yeah.
In that second half of that game, she's like, you know what? You going to wave me off like that? I'm going to use that anger I have towards you and D her up. It's like, you know what? I'm going to make your ass go right. Because you go left, you jam me up. But she... Raven D'd her ass up and play. I appreciate that. But every athlete that understands their weakness and they go in the lab and they try to, build on that weakness and make that weakness, throw it out the window, so to say. So I was proud of them the way they think about it. South Carolina lost five starters.
Yep.
And went perfect.
Yep.
And went perfect.
Unbeaten.
So, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, speaking about working on your weaknesses. Obviously, there's a quick turnaround between the end of the women's college game and the beginning of the WNBA season. It's like a couple of months, or maybe like a month and a half, because the draft is
coming up.
Right, yeah. And the season starts in May, I believe.
I think that's right, yeah.
So what did I see? Angel Reese working with Wimby's trainer on her jump shot, or just putting in work in general and understanding that there are aspects, even though she took the women's game by storm with her attitude and with her passion and everything like that, understanding that right there can only get you so far, especially going to the next level. I got to be able to knock down some shots. Because really, the way that she really plays like a big man, but she's really a undersized woman when it comes to how she plays.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to learn how to knock down a 15-foot jump shot in order to kind of keep people off her and to kind of diversify her game. And I think that's something that she's really working on because she's a top 10 pick. She's a top 10 pick, and that's something that she's really going to have to work on in order to take her game to the next level when she gets to WNBA.
Yeah, because those girls – I'm sorry, those women at the next level, they got speed, they got talent, and they got, more importantly, smarts. They got a lot of court smartness, so a lot of things that you can do in college, they're going to take away in WNBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm anxious to see how much of the passion of this women's game carries over into this WNBA season. I really want to see some of that carry through and spill over, maybe like a little ratings bump or some media attention that the WNBA necessarily hasn't had in the last several years. So I'm excited for that. I think this is a cool trend, and I hope it continues because I've had a lot of fun, probably more so watching the women's games this year than the men's. Not and it's not a shot at the men's games. It's just been more fun to watch.
You know, one of the things that people are talking about is you think about all the women we're talking about. We saw them as freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. And so we had a chance to follow them.
Yep.
You know, next year is going to be Juju's turn to carry the torch. And if you go to men's, there's no one to carry the torch because they all bouncing so fast to the NBA. You know, we had Edie this year, and, you know, and Edie's not, he's not the social person that everybody wants to follow because his game is boring. You know, it's, big men games are boring. He's a true big man. So you think about it. We love threes. We love dunks. And that's what we love. And that's why we love Caitlin Clark, because of the threes. And now we like Juju. Her Juju game is just everything. But if you go to the men's side, who's carrying the torch? You know, as soon as you want to, oh, you carry the torch, I'm out.
Yeah, it's a one and done.
It's so hard. And now you can't attach that love to someone in college, men's college, because they go so fast.
And I think it's tough for the men's game too, but it's also understandable because when you're a lottery pick and you're a top flight talent, it's better for me to take the talent that I do have, knowing that to an extent it's enough to play in the league and work on whatever I need to work on while playing in the league and still being, you know, 20 years old, maybe 19 years old, than to, hey, I'm going to come back another year. Now, you do have the NIL, which helps because everybody wants to make money. So I'm going to make money if I'm a top talent because brands are going to be looking for me. But so many of these guys want to be able to get into college, get whatever they can, and then get to the league because that's been their dream. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been their dream to play against the best of the best. And in their mind, it's kind of like, okay, even with the NIL and I can make some money, that's the NBA. And at 19, 20 years old, I think I got the game to compete with them right now. And there are certain things that I can still work on while I'm in the league, and my game can still develop while I'm there. So I don't want to stay here 2, 3, 4 years because my game is good enough right now. Some of them, not all of them. We'll get to Bronny James in a minute, but
some of them think their game is ready until they are like, oh, yeah, I can never understand this. As if I was a GM, all of a sudden I have this guy coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
He's averaging 12 points a game, and he thinks I'm going to leave as a freshman. 12 points ain't shit. I'm like, come on, man. Like, no, don't take that chance. And that's just like, make them get better in college. Make them understand that this is a game that needs to be played as a team. You come on to the NBA, but you probably going to be like, let's see, like what, 20 of those guys that go early in the G League trying to get better? Two-way contracts?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about your when it comes to college, some of your cream of the crop type guys. I'm talking about your Tatums, your Paolos, your Zions.
Those guys are different.
Yeah.
Those are different. I'm talking about the guys like, you know, let's take the last couple of the years. You know, the guy that was with Alabama.
Brandon Miller.
I can't think of his name. No. The other guy, he left early a couple years ago with the crazy hair, went to Boston. Ain't touched the court in forever.
Yeah.
Then you got, what's the guy from UCLA that came out of Sierra Canyon out here?
I know you're talking about. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, all these guys that, like, think about it. If you stay one more year, you go from a late first or second round pick to a top five pick. You go from making what, I don't know what the league, the average is for rookies, but you tripling that if you stay one more year.
Yeah, dude plays for Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah, Bailey.
Bailey. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, I think with the men's game, there's this allure, not just to the league, but like there's money to be made in the NBA. And yeah. NIL money is fine, but NIL money is going to go to those guys. It's going to go to the top tier players. They're going to, and everybody else is going to scrap for a little bit of money. Where it's like, if you can go on to the NBA, well, you got a paycheck, maybe you can catch a league minimum and get on a roster somewhere, and you got a shot. But there's I think a little bit more with the women's game. I just think it's different.
Now,
the WNBA just doesn't have the cash flow the NBA's.
Now I will say this for NIL, because it is name, image, and likeness, and there are guys out there who've been very creative when it comes to what makes them unique and what makes them different, and they're not top flight athletes to be able to get these brand deals. So if it's not your talent that really stands out and speaks for you, find creative other ways in order to get your name out there, in order for brands to attach themselves to you, because it's not just about your play on the floor. It's about what makes you unique and what makes you stand out from everybody else.
Yeah. Like, take like McCain, for instance, for Duke. You know, he has a fingernail polish contract now. I'm like, really? Okay. So it's like dudes like that. You need to find some kind of unique way to add more money to your NIL, so to say. So, yeah, big ups to guys like that. And you think about other guys. I know the guy from Kentucky, he just declared for the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name.
I know you're talking about the guard.
Yeah, and I'm like, do you realize that? I hope he makes it, but he reminds me of a guy that's going to leave early, go from, instead of staying one more year in college, I'm just throwing this number out there. I don't know. So you can make $2 million this year if you leave college, or you can make $8 million if you wait one more year. It's like it's a $6 million difference. So
right. Oh, Isaiah Collier from USC just declared as well.
Yeah. Well, we knew that was going to happen. He didn't even want to go to college at first. He wanted to go straight to the league.
Before we get to Bronny, I want to play one last piece of audio from Dawn Staley. Very passionate woman. Very spiritual woman.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to show her praise. Talked about God a lot while she had her moment. Of course, the internet did what the internet did and took her moment and put a church band behind it, which I thought was awesome.
I got to give honor to the Most High God for allowing us to be back at the same place in which we had sad tears. And I just want you to know that the God I serve, when he closes a door, he opens up a door that's giving you unimaginable success. This is uncommon favor.
That is what you like to call a Baptist organ. Baptist church organ.
That dirty south right
Baptist
there.
It is. Organ. One more. Oh, I love the... Get that in.
God is good.
God is good.
That's when
good
you know.
Dawn
hey,
Staley. Just that—that that was just. I thought that was good. Good job by the internet. That was
Mommy at old days.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, well, we teased Bronny, talk about Bronny. I think this kind of... I really genuinely didn't expect him to declare. I really didn't. I thought that, we talked about it a lot, that he was probably going to try... You wanted to see him get some more time... on the floor at USC, get a little bit more under his belt, but immediately, didn't have a crazy standout year or anything like that, and that was it.
He averaged 4-2-2.
Yeah, I mean, it was just
he didn't start.
Yeah. He didn't get much minutes. Yeah, but I think with him though, he declared with no agent, and he's also in the portal.
He is in the portal.
If he goes somewhere else,
he can continue to play college.
Yeah. But, the thing about that is, that's one of the rules that I for the NBA, they should change. Because now you could pick, I think they still own your draft rights or whatever, or something crazy like that. But either go or stay. Don't put me on the fence as a team because are you going to go or are you going to stay?
Well, I'm on the fence. He needs to stay.
Yeah. I think he should just stay and just, just build his brand. You know, it ain't like he needs money.
Where does he go?
I was gonna say he can't go back to USC now, right?
Where? No, he's already leaving USC.
He's out of USC. Yeah.
Where does he go, Rob?
Ohio State.
Okay.
I go to Ohio State.
That makes
sense. It depends
sense.
If he still has family in the area. Yeah, or he can do like a, you know, go across the street to UCLA or go to Pepperdine or go somewhere close, long San Diego State. You know,
Pepperdine.
They got a good team.
Fucking Pepperdine. What are you talking about? Jesus.
I'm just throwing names out there that's close to USC.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess. But...
I think for me, he's a hard-nosed player. And the way that San Diego State plays, I think, would fit his type of game. Mm-hmm. So he's just rolling down to San Diego State. He's still close to home.
See, USC, though, is a brand. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think Ohio State makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It's a high-profile brand. Yeah. It's connected to his family. That would make sense if you're going to go anywhere, Ohio State or UCLA. I think either of those schools probably make the most sense.
I think his options, whatever we was looking at, I don't know. I can't remember if Ohio State was one. I know Duke was one. And
I don't see him. I don't know.
The thing about Duke
got a – No, Duke got the number one recruit.
Cooper Flag. Yeah, Cooper Flag coming through.
He got like five guys coming in.
Yeah,
you know?
And he ain't going to see the floor.
No shot.
Depending on those guys aren't leaving, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to run it back. So nobody's declaring as of yet.
They've had a couple of guys transfer or enter the transfer portal. But other than that, it's... Mm.
Ohio State for me makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, do you legitimately see him hitting the draft, though? Or do you think it's just going to be a transfer move?
I think it's just going to be a transfer move. I think the draft is intriguing for a lot of teams because of what LeBron has said, that he wants to play with his son. And so that's going to be very interesting because, you know, I think LeBron is he can opt out at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's the other part of this was that everybody's saying they think he's just going to opt out either way just for the no trade clause.
Yeah.
So he could sign a new contract. He has a $51.4 million player option for the coming season. Declining that wouldn't necessarily mean he leaves the Lakers, but he gets the no-trade clause. So he could. That's sort of a contract move more so than a opting out because I want out of L.A. type of thing.
This is, go back to school. Go back to school. Go somewhere where you can start, work on your game. I know a lot of scouts talk about his elite defense, and that's cool. But go somewhere where you can work on your game and you can be better. Because it's not like you need the money. You're probably the only player in the country that really don't need the money. And I get, look, you have the weight of the James name on your back. But stop, don't let your dad, don't let that name, or don't let anything rush you. Because you got to stand on your own too. You know, you got to create your own legacy and forget, you know, even if a lot of this is coming from LeBron. Look, don't let your pops rush you into something that you know you ain't ready for just for it to be a marketing ploy.
I hit you with the organ now every time you apply for it.
Don't do that, because look, that's a big name to live up to. We know how sons do when it comes to following up their fathers. They're never as good as their fathers.
Well, you're
Steph
never
is, Steph is Steph.
Yeah, but that's
like, well, then, okay. Yeah.
Okay, let me put it to you like this. When the fathers were great, the sons don't tend to be better.
Well, when the fathers are all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It, like LeBron James is the highest bar that you can set.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the all-time leading point scorer in NBA history. He's in the conversation for the greatest of all time to ever pick up a basketball. So that's a stupid high bar.
I heard somebody say something about Michael Jordan's son, and it had me laughing for about 10 minutes. They said Michael Jordan's son was the most athletic Uber driver ever. And I cried when I heard it. They were like, when it came
to... Just because he never wanted to,
It was hilarious because when you start comparing your sons, because both his sons played ball, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because one of them played at Syracuse, and wasn't that great.
They're not Michael Jordan though.
No, but I mean, I don't even think they weren't good.
Right. But it's like, no matter how good you are, like, even if you work your ass off to be a great player and you're not that good and you work, you're never going to be Michael Jordan.
I wonder, like, if you talk about elite players, like, if you go down the list and their sons who play, who were, like, let's see, where would the comparison be to, like, who's, like, you know, you got Steph, who, of course, was, you know, Dell could shoot.
Sure, Dell was a good player, but he wasn't anything what Steph became.
I think it'd be probably Michael and Clay, because you talk about how high being his elite and then how high as the son is. Okay. I think Michael and Clay would be the best father-son duo if you go down the list, because
if you're sticking to the NBA, I can't think of anybody else NBA. The only one that sticks out for me is probably Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. Major League Baseball, because Ken Griffey Sr. was an outstanding player. Yeah. And then when Jr. came along, I mean, he changed everything.
He changed everything.
So,
because you think, let's see who else, like, think about Wiggins. His dad was a hell of a defender, but his son is kind of a little bit better. It's a lot of father-son combos. That would be interesting to see the best father-son duo in the history of the NBA.
History of the NBA. All right, well, we'll look that up for me for another show. We have some more time to prepare. By the way, since we're on LeBron, we had this pop up from Paul Pierce. He thinks that the Lakers should trade LeBron and Spider. Send LeBron back to Cleveland. The Lakers get Donovan Mitchell, and then Bronny can go to the Cavs, and they can do their little swan song in Cleveland.
I think Paul Pierce would need to shut up.
I think Paul Pierce is smoking a little bit too much of what got him fired on ESPN.
I just think.
Because in what world do the Lakers trade LeBron James?
In what world does he go back to Cleveland?
Right.
And what world does LeBron even accept that trade?
Right. You know, and that's the other
part.
You've
established so much in L.A. as far as your off the court, your after basketball life. So
I don't know. That's a little kooky there. But there is a lot of talk about the Cavs trying to move on from Spider.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I've seen a lot of. Bleacher Report saying that they're trying to get something out of him. His contract runs through 24-25. But they're saying that the Cavs want to try and move him before he becomes an unrestricted free agent, so they get something in return.
I know a team that should look at him.
That's what I was going to ask.
Because Hawks? I think no.
No, the Hawks. The story with the Hawks today is, are they going to keep Murray or Trey? Because one of them is going
to
go
this offseason. They may be trying to unload a guard.
Yeah, like, they don't need to add more.
No, and I think you need to do this because this team is going to have to start spending money early because of the emergence of their star, and that's the Spurs.
That's not bad.
I think because of the emergence of Wimby so early, they're gonna have to take a book from what the Texans did this year with CJ Stroud off on his rookie years and the way he emerged.
Yeah,
what did they do this off season? They spent money
big time.
Yeah,
because you know why? I got to do this early because I got to take advantage of my rookie quarterback on his rookie deal, because when it's time to pay him, I ain't gonna have that kind of money to spend and just go all willy nilly with, you know. And I think that's the same way with the Spurs, because when it's time for Wimby to get paid, oh, please. He's going to own half of Texas.
Well, no, he's not, because Luka's going to own half of Texas.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about when it's Luka's already gotten paid.
No, he's about to get paid even again, though.
Right,
again.
But what Luka's about to get this next go-round, Wimby's going to get more when it's time for him to get paid.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't know if we can pull up old shows. You remember when I told that when they made this trade for Spider, that it was going to hurt them more than it was going to help them?
Mm. I can go
look. I said it was going to hurt. It was going to hurt Garland. And it hurt. And he got in Garland's way. He went from being an all-star to like being this person like, well, fuck, you know, I thought this was my team.
Right.
He just didn't fit. Right. You know, Spider to me, he doesn't fit anywhere unless he is the boss of a team. He can't have another superstar because he's like an Allen Iverson to me. He has to be the focal point, you know, because he's not – think about it. How many times have he ever had a triple-double? How many times – what's his highest in assists? He's not a very good passer. He's a hell of a scorer, decent defender.
Right.
But it's hard to put him somewhere where he's going to make the team – like, and uplift the players around him. He's just not that type of dude, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking up the stats right now. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, not much on the assists.
Yeah, he's a 38
scorer. Points and 7, 38 and 2, 31 and 6, 32 and 8. Yeah, not much. He's averaging 6 assists on the season.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. 6 assists is not bad at all.
Terrible for an average?
Yeah. For a two guard? Yeah, absolutely.
That's not bad.
But and the thing about it is, like, I remember so many times when he was in Utah and he would go, and I think it's a trust factor when it comes to him. Like, you have bigs around the rim, he should put it up to. He takes a shot when he shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I know it was with Gobert, and I don't think he ever trusted Gobert. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to get up bigs, what we call a little sugar, so they can go down the other end and block shots and help you out defensively. So
you don't think he's working in San Antonio?
No, because he's going to get in Wimby's way.
They're very different players, man.
But think about it. That guard that San Antonio has now gets in Wimby's way. He want to shoot the ball too many damn times.
Yeah.
When you got a guy like Wimby, there should never be a time on the floor where it's somewhere, unless you hot, that you have more shots than Wimby. Mm-hmm. Never. And when you get a guy who comes out and says, oh, I had 20 shots and Wimby only had 12, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You better been 18 for 20 for you to take 20 shots and I only get 12.
But this is a Donovan Mitchell problem then, because he's going to have to learn that this has to work that way. Like, you can't stick him on an island somewhere and expect him to win. It's not going to work.
Some guys get it and some guys don't, you know. So
it's going to be tough for him to learn that now, because everywhere he's been,
he's been
the guy. And so even when they traded him to Cleveland, you know, like you said, even with Darius Garland feeling a certain type of way, him getting in Garland's way, because when you trade for Donovan Mitchell, you don't trade for him to be the second fiddle. You know what I'm saying? So
if he goes to San Antonio, who's the first fiddle?
That's true. Maybe. That's true. I get it. Hell?
Like, I mean, but if you do the same, like, where has being the man gotten you?
If that's the case, ship him to D.C. then.
Why? He should go to
the just a team
DC.
In disarray.
Yeah,
we'll ship him to DC.
But if I'm a GM,
in mediocrity forever, go nuts.
And the crazy part now with the new CBA, it's going to be hard to trade him.
Yeah,
because you got to match money for money. It's not throwing in five guys. It got to be a superstar player for a superstar player. Mm. So who's going to take on that contract? Unless you got someone like a Tobias Harris that has a large contract that's not utilized, you ship him there or something. It's going to be hard.
But I'm thinking about other young teams. But the other young teams that I'm thinking about also have a younger, developing, quote-unquote, star that you say get in the way of. Like, even if he went to Toronto, Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, he'd get in all the way of Jalen Green.
Yeah, Jalen Green, they ain't going to. Yeah, well, Scotty Barnes is the face of the league, so why would you send him to Toronto?
Now that I sit here and think about it, you think, to me, the best place for him would be Miami.
Miami who?
Miami Heat. Because
he gonna play for think the about it.
You think about it. The culture they have there.
They've been trying to get him there for a minute.
That's what I'm saying. You get him there, now you can play him at a 2 or a 3 or 1-2, and you got – that they will make him fall in the line.
Oh, he culture? Jimmy beat his ass up.
Yeah, exactly.
Him and Bam?
Exactly.
Yeah, Jimmy Bam beat his ass up.
You got to have that. Yeah. So that's the only place I see.
That actually might make sense now that you say that.
Get him in line where he can play. Like, this is team ball down here. It ain't no you, it's a we.
If you're not going to give him the whole team, then you got to have somebody like a Jimmy Butler who's going to have the balls to stand in front of him and go, no, 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 no. This is how this works. And, you know, I don't think he's had a lot of that in his career.
And you got the GM sitting up there looking down. They're like, oh, don't make me come down there.
Not make Pat Riley get off his ass.
Don't make me come down there.
He will come get you. He will come for you.
Yeah, I think all parties benefit in that. I think he then gets to a team that, Cleveland was supposed to compete.
Well,
I mean,
Cleveland was real good at the start of the season, because we were talking about that, where we were sleeping on Cleveland. And then, man, they just fell off.
Yeah. Well, injuries hit them.
Hey, and the Rockets were real good at the beginning of the season,
and then
too.
The Rockets were on the Warriors' heels for a hot minute. Then,
reality sets in. The Rockets had some real favorable schedules, boy. Like, even that 10-game streak they had, all the teams were garbage. And then they had one team that had the best player, just like at the beginning of the season. They had everything fell in line for them. And then when the reality sets in, when you play teams that are fully loaded, you're not that good.
Well, okay. We're still got a long way to go. All right, I do want to get to our game. We're going to play a game of historical high-low coming off of the undefeated. No, this is a fun game. Coming off of the unbeaten season by the South Carolina Gamecocks, and we will get to that in a second. But first, I got to give out Big Shot of the Week. It's going to go to a gentleman named Laverne Bicer of Fort Worth, Texas, who is 105 years old and just lived to see his 13th total solar eclipse. I give him Big Shot of the Week because dude lost his wife in 2023 at 97, and him and his wife kind of did all these eclipse things together, so he got to go do one more at 105 to kind of pay homage to his wife and go through all the eclipse stuff. And when they asked him the secret to long life, he just said, good, clean, Christian living. And everybody else was like, okay. Yeah, good, clean, Christian living.
Absolutely.
105 years old.
That's my new favorite sound bite.
Oh, the organ hit?
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere? Yeah. Did you see the eclipse? Were you at all enamored with it? Is it something you're into, or just who gives a crap?
I totally forgot about it, and apparently I was taking a shower when it was happening. I missed it.
Good for you. So I was in the shower with the eclipse. All it did here was get like a little overcast.
Yeah, I didn't have to look. I didn't have the glasses this time around.
Protective eyewear.
Yeah, but I could tell it was happening because you see the tent, it was tinted outside and it was shaded. I'm like, okay, so it's happening now because ain't no way, there are no clouds in the sky and the sun is there. So there's nothing that should be blocking it other than. Yeah. So I could tell. So I enjoyed it from that standpoint. So I went out and I just sat outside and enjoyed how cool it was because of the shade. Mm.
Rob's doctor got the full eclipse. He got the full eclipse.
Yeah, you didn't want to see that big brown moon.
It was all blacked out. It was. All right. Well, let's see the game this week. So it's just another game of high low. I'm gonna go back and forth. You guys get to pick a number here. And then your opponent here will get to say if they think the answer is actually higher or lower. And a lot of these just have to do with historical landmarks as far as sports goes, because we just had UConn go back-to-back. First time that's happened in a minute. We just had South Carolina complete the unbeaten season. So some of the historical marks here, we'll see how you guys do. We'll start with Rob. You get to pick the number, and then Harp's going to pick higher or lower. So we all know Caitlin Clark broke the all-time Division I scoring record. She passed up Pistol Pete Maravich. How many more points did Caitlin finish with than Pistol Pete? So Rob's going to set the line.
I say 350.
350 more points than Pistol Pete. Harp, is the real answer higher or lower?
I'm trying to remember when she passed him.
That was a month ago?
Yeah, it had to be a month ago. I'm going to say, higher.
Higher than 350. Pistol Pete's record was 36-67. She finished with 39-51, 284 points.
Dang.
So it was lower. The point to Robert Ory. Very nicely done. All right, Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Joe DiMaggio holds baseball's all-time record for consecutive games with a hit at 56. That's a record that's probably never going to be broken. In the modern era, Pete Rose came the closest with how many games in a row with a hit?
All-time record for consecutive hits.
So the all-time record is DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. No one will ever touch it, I don't think. Pete Rose came close in 1978. How many games in a row did Pete Rose score a hit?
I'm going to say 35.
35. Rob?
Higher.
Higher or lower?
I think it was like 42 or 44, wasn't it?
Robert Ory, 44.
I remember that for some reason. Yeah.
In 1978, he got 44 in a row. Now, there's some guy from like the 1800s that hit safely in 45 or something like that. So that's why I said the modern.
There's no record.
No, it's like when they play with shoes on. I mean, it was like that. All right, Robert Ory, you brag all the time about the 93-94 Rockets starting the season 15-0 because it was a record. And that record stood until 2015 when the Warriors broke it. With how many consecutive wins to start the year?
1-1.
All right, Harper, that is not the right answer. Is the right answer higher or lower than 21 games?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I think it's lower.
24 games, the Rockets in 2015.
I couldn't remember.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think that was the year they broke the.
That was 20.
That was the 73-9 season. Yeah, I think that was the year they broke that record too, the Bulls record. So there you go, 24 in a row for the Warriors. But that Rockets record stood for a hot minute, about 11 years or so. On the opposite side of that bracket, Harper, the Cleveland Cavaliers hold all three of the top spots for the longest losing streaks in NBA history, capped off with the LeBron-less 2010-2011 Cavs, who lost how many games in a row that year? Detroit flirted with this year. Didn't quite get there.
I know.
They flirted with it, though.
Was it 20? I want to say 20.
He's going to say 20. That is not the right answer. Robert O'Reilly.
I know it ain't.
Is it higher or lower? Rob says higher.
Higher.
They lost 26 in a row that year. 20. And by the way, in 1981 and 82, and again in 82 and 83, they lost 24 in a row. Yeah, both of those years in the 80s. So, man, the Cavs just notching all three top spots there. All right, Robert Horry, let's talk about the Iron Man. Cal Ripken Jr. famously broke Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive MLB starts when he eclipsed 2,130 starts. He started his 2,131st game in September of 95. He ended that streak in September of 1998 with how many total games? Consecutive games started. So he broke the record, was 2,130. How many did he finish with?
This is out of my wheelhouse. So I'm going to say 2,233.
That's not the right answer. Harper, is the right answer higher or lower?
I think it's higher.
It's way higher. Yeah. 2,632.
Because you got to take into account, it's 182 games in the baseball season.
Three more years before he hung it up. So, he got a couple hundred more games in under his belt. So, 2,632. 2,632 consecutive games started by Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Called him
the
Iron Man.
That's the Iron Man. All right, Harper, Lakers legend A.C. Green holds the NBA record for most consecutive games played. What is that record?
I feel as though this
by
is
by the
a
way,
lot.
He missed in during this streak. This went from 1986 to 2001.
From 86 to 2001?
He missed.
He would not.
He missed three games from 1986 to 2001. A.C. Green missed three games.
And here's the funny part. He had to play one game where they was like, you can't play because he had a broken finger. And he said, fuck that, wrap it up. And he played anyway.
So he holds the record. And he shot at what that might be.
Jeez, for that long? I'm going to say, I don't know, 600 games?
That is not the right answer,
of
Rob.
Of course it's not.
Is the right answer higher or lower?
Lower.
He played 1,192 consecutive games, so it was higher. So Harp gets the point there, but holy cow, dude.
He would not miss a game, man.
1986 to 2001, that dude missed three games.
That's ridiculous.
That's insanity.
And that the way he plays, all hard and wild and crazy.
Yeah. Aggressively, three games in the span of 15 years. It's just nuts.
What's his name? Bridges. He was like trying to break that record. And they try to sit him out of game. He played like 1 minute just so he can keep the record going.
Yeah. All right, Rob. Wilt Chamberlain is at the top of a lot of NBA record lists, including how many consecutive games where he scored at least 20 points? How many consecutive games in a row Will Chamberlain notched at least 20 points? You say 53?
Yeah.
All right, that is not the right answer. Harper, is the right answer higher or lower?
I think I'm going to say higher.
Wilt Chamberlain scored 20 plus points in 126 consecutive.
Yeah, he was ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's dumb.
Yeah,
that's a season and a half consecutively.
He was. Everybody was 5'5"
and white. last one, Harper. We'll go one more NFL. Johnny Unitas holds the NFL record for the most consecutive games with a touchdown pass at 46. 46 consecutive games. Brett Favre is second on that list with how many? How many consecutive games did Brett Favre throw a touchdown?
40.
He says 40. That's not right. Rob, is the right answer higher or lower?
Higher.
No, it's lower, actually. 36.
Oh.
36 consecutive games Brett Favre threw a touchdown.
He gave me a window of six, so I said,
yeah, yeah.
Still
missed it. Son of a bitch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.